Rishibhis tatvadarshibhi Shrutam hi varnitam bodhi Tasyanu charitam rajan Rishibhis tatvadarshibhi Shrutam hi varnitam bodhi Tvaya sita pater moho Tasyanu charitam rajan Rishibhis tatvadarshibhi Shrutam hi varnitam bodhi Tvaya sita pater moho Tasyanu charitam rajan Rishibhis tatvadarshibhi Shrutam hi varnitam bodhi Tasya sita pater moho Tasya of him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, and his brothers. Anu charitam, transcendental activities. Rajan, O King, Maharaj Parikshit, Rishibhi, by great sages or saintly persons. Tatva darshibhi, by persons who know the absolute truth. Shrutam, have all been heard. He, indeed. Varnitam, as they have been so nicely described. Bhori, many. Tvaya, by you. Sitapate, of Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita. Muhu, more often than. Excuse me, more than often. Sorry. Translation. Oh, King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramachandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth, because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita. I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Pretty heavy paragraph here. Modern rakshasas posing as educationally advanced merely because they have doctorates have tried to prove that Lord Ramachandra is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary person. But those who are learned and spiritually advanced will never accept such notions. They will accept the descriptions of Lord Ramachandra and his activities only as presented by tatvadarshis, those who know the absolute truth. In Bhagavad Gita 434, the Supreme Personality of Godhead advises, Tadvidhi paripatena pariprasnena sevaya upadikshanti te gyanam gyaninas tatvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Unless one is tattvadarshi, or incomplete knowledge of the absolute truth, one cannot describe the activities of the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, there are many so-called Ramayanas, or histories, of Lord Ramachandra's activities, Some of them are not actually authoritative. Sometimes Lord Ramachandra's activities are described in terms of one's own imagination, speculations, or material sentiments. But the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra should not be handled as something imaginary. While describing the history of Lord Ramachandra, Shukadev Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit, quote, "You have already heard about the activities of Lord Ramachandra. Apparently, therefore, 5,000 years ago, there were many Ramayanas, or histories of Lord Ramachandra activities, and there are many still. But we must select only those books written by Tattvadarshis, Gyaninas Tattvadarshinaha, not the books of so-called scholars who claim knowledge only on the basis of a doctorate." This is a warning by Shukadev Goswami. Rishibhis Tattvadarshibhi is in the Sanskrit of the verse. Although the Ramayana composed by Valmiki is a huge literature, the same activities are summarized here by Shukadev Goswami in a few verses. It's significant that Shukadev Goswami begins the narration of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes with this warning. It's significant that commonly Prabhupada would give the same warning, not specifically about Lord Ramachandra's pastimes, but about receiving spiritual knowledge of any kind. Commonly he would say in disciplic succession, here even more explicitly as a tattvadarshi means, it's translated, I noted as I was reading this several times, the tattvadarshi phrase takes on slightly different nuances, and so it's okay that slightly different nuances can be rendered. Literally as a darshi, darshan means to see, a seer of the truth, or a knower of the truth, or knower of the absolute truth, or established in the conclusion of the Vedas, and those different things. How does one become a tattvadarshi? Well, one has to hear from a tattvadarshi. And in the mature stage, to become a tattvadarshi, one has to be engaged hearing from the tattvadarshi in the bhakti process, the application of what one has heard in practical terms, and being guided by the conclusions, meaning we're not at the conclusion yet, but guided by the statements of perfected souls, what the conclusion is, being guided by that to stay on course and not fall in the ditch. However, finding a tattvadarshi isn't 1, 2, 3. Simple. So when there is the opportunity or great fortune, then one's life can become fortunate. I remember very clearly Prabhupada speaking like this was one very hot summer day in Henry Street Temple in Brooklyn. And Prabhupada was describing himself. My spiritual master found me in some dark place, and he made me fortunate. And his voice became choked. And then he instructed me, you go forward and make others fortunate. And so, following his instructions, I've come to the Western countries, and I've found you in some dark place. And by his grace, I've delivered that good fortune, and now you've become fortunate. And now I'm instructing you, you go forward and make others fortunate. So, the good fortune commonly means, is taken to mean wealth, but the wealth of a human being is not temporary fleeting wealth, but the permanent kind. Again, it's the connection to the personality you've guided through devotional service. That's the best gift you can give, or the best wealth you can have. And Tattva Darshis can give that because they have it. They can give one vision of the Supreme Lord because they have it. And vision of the Supreme Lord may mean, literally, with spiritual vision, seeing the Supreme Lord. And it may mean having such implicit faith in the instructions of the Vedas that that same potency is conveyed through their sound vibration. So going back to the verse, it's Shukadev Goswami speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit
certainly
has heard the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. So what is the need to say it again? Well, he's saying it again because it's the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva is writing it, and Lord Ramachandra's pastimes must be presented, at least to some degree. And so they were mentioned in chapter 1 and chapter 2, just in one verse, very short. Now here's several chapters, because this is the personality of Godhead, and hearing about his glories and his activities, his name, his everything, his associates, is part of the Bhagavad Dharma. It's part of the means of purification and achieving spiritual perfection. So naturally, there's going to be something here. And Prabhupada's comment is, Shukadeva Goswami wants Maharaj Parikshit to hear once again something that he's already heard, and he's only going to summarize rather than the lengthy version of Valmiki Ramayana. And it's not exactly Valmiki Ramayana, it's Srimad Bhagavatam, but it's in accord with, it's not in contradiction with Valmiki Ramayana, besides it's being shorter, just the past times and the theme again being that the personality of Godhead, who is the absolute truth, is appearing in this world for the benefit of others in so many ways. So we're hearing many versions of Ramayana were available. Just a little, two little things. Those of you that have read or started to read Brihat Bhagavatamrita, in the introductory verses, initial verses, there's a description that this part one is Jaimini's narration to grandson of the Pandavas, not their great grandson, Janamejaya. And he's narrating a version of Mahabharata. Now, I was very surprised reading that because, as far as I knew, there's Mahabharata that's Vyasadeva's Mahabharata. Apparently, there's other versions of Mahabharata. Interesting. And there are other versions of Ramayana. Interesting. It's not just Valmiki Ramayana. Even at the time of 5,000 years ago, there were other Ramayanas besides Valmiki Ramayana. And certainly fast forward over time, one of the favorite Ramayana versions is Tulsi Ramayana. Actually, it's a little technical. It's not called Ramayana, it's called Ram Charita Manas. And there's many other things to say about it, but there are essences that are the same and there are details that are different. In preparing for the Ayodhya Yatra, there's some scholars that have gone through the two, and there's a list of like 30 different things that they're different. And outstanding amongst them, the differences, this is just a detail, but in Valmiki Ramayana, there's no visit of Lord Ramachandra to the southern portion of India where the crossing to Lanka took place and the return from Lanka took place, where Lord Ramachandra is said to have worshipped Shiva Linga. It's not in Valmiki Ramayana. However, it's commonly understood. In there's so many paintings and illustrations of Lord Ramachandra worshipping Shiva Linga. And then the people that are the followers of Tulsi Ramayana take it in a different way. This means Lord Shiva is supreme and Lord Ramachandra is worshipping Lord Shiva because Lord Shiva is supreme. Other Vaishnavas see it very differently than that rendering. Then another very common one that's spoken of is the circle made by Lakshmana surrounding Sita, saying, don't cross this line. Because if you cross that line, then anything could happen. And she crossed the line and anything happened. So that's not in Valmiki Ramayana. Lakshman Rekha. Not there. And another, 28 different items. So there's details that are different, but the basic storyline is essentially the same. Now, Ram Charit Manas is very popular in India. Despite its popularity, Srila Prabhupada publicly, certainly privately, but also publicly, expressed his preference for Valmiki Ramayana. He even warned about there are certain passages in Valmiki Ramayana. I haven't read it, but I've heard that there are some passages that are explicitly impersonal. Not just the commentary, but the text, explicitly impersonal. And so if someone's going to write something about Lord Ramachandra that's explicitly impersonal, how can we consider him to be a Tattvadarshi? And if you're not a Tattvadarshi, the caution here is you don't hear from such a person about transcendental subject matters unless they're a Tattvadarshi. And Tattvadarshi, again, means knows the absolute truth, sees the absolute truth, etc. That's caution. And for most of us, It's not a big deal. We don't want to go here and there and hear from people that aren't ISKCON people. We want to hear from ISKCON people, or even from ISKCON people, that they don't go and gather something from here, there, and elsewhere, and speaking on behalf of our founder, Acharya, speaks something else that's outside of our disciplic succession's teachings, and specifically even our founder Acharya's teachings. It's popular, and it's strongly advised against. So going forward over time, our trained ISKCON devotees need to have that understanding, information, and certainly follow it, and be prepared to not smash other people that don't have that same understanding, but by reference to scripture and by humble persuasion, explain why that's not a good thing to do. Minimally, be very cautious, more strongly. It's not a good thing to do, more strongly. Prabhupada didn't want us to do that. Strict followers don't do that. But still there's many people, even, you know, devotees that are in some positions of regard within our society, that they go here and there and hear from different people. So going out over time, it's a concern. One of our GBC members, I won't mention their name, regularly hear them say, even today, things that we don't do are starting to appear. Prabhupada was very clear about what he wanted, and here and there and multitude of things that are not within our sampradaya are appearing. And she mentioned some. And it's Malati. And then I've heard her say this many times. So what's it going to be like another 25 years from now, 50 years from now, if our current devotees, not fanatics, but understand what Prabhupada wanted and we follow what Prabhupada wanted? It gets into details, and I don't need to go into details. It's a principle. We stick with our founder, Acharya. In ISKCON, we're careful to follow our founder, Acharya, and we want to understand what he did, as well as his mood, both, and follow. And then those who do that and follow, they will be the ones who preserve ISKCON, and those that don't, ISKCON's going to look different, feel different. And who knows? So it's not just a matter of strictness, or it's a matter of a scare tactic. It's a matter of fidelity and faithfulness in following our founder Acharya, just as Srila Prabhupada did, follow Bhaktisiddhanta. I don't know if any of you have had the opportunity to hear Rabindra Swarup Prabhu speak. He spoke when we had our some gathering in Gitanagari, this kind of 50 celebration. And because he spent so much time, requested by the GBC to create that paper of meaning of founder Acharya, and because he's such a brilliant person, he studied meticulously, and he learned so much about specifically Prabhupada being precisely a follower of Bhaktisiddhanta. Everything he did, this nomenclature founder Acharya comes from Bhaktisiddhanta. There's details involved in all of that, which I won't go into. Prabhupada was a strict follower. While at the same time he set up ISKCON instead of following Gaudiya Math, ISKCON is a strict follower of what Bhaktisiddhanta wanted. you read the research that Rabindra did because he explained it so eloquently and its effect. So we should similarly be a strict follower. And through a course of time, details may change, but principles shouldn't change. Certainly philosophy shouldn't change, and the manner of worship shouldn't change. Prabhupada was very strict about it, very concerned about it, and very strict about it. So, back to the text. There are many Ramayanas out there, even today, or even then. And Shukadeva Goswami knew the good ones and the not good ones. He knew the whole thing, and he knew that Maharaj Parikshit knew as well. Nonetheless, he's going to explain from the source of authority of those authentic ones, or disciplic succession ones, or tattvadarshi ones, seers of the truth, knowers of the absolute truth. You have to be a personalist. You can't be an impersonalist. You can't just be a scholar. As he's not indicating, Prabhupada was careful. When he would have conversations, he would sometimes mention the name. I'm guessing, because I don't know what Dr. Radhakrishna wrote, but Dr. Radhakrishna had a doctorate. And Dr. Radhakrishna wrote things about Bhagavad Gita and apparently about Ramayana that were revolting. But because he has a doctorate and because he was a political personality, people went, whoa. And he popularized impersonalism from that position and gave people the wrong understanding. So in this case, at least, apparently whoever the doctorate person is, he wasn't saying the impersonal Brahman is the absolute truth. Maybe he also said that, but that Lord Ramachandra is one of us, a mortal who took birth and lived for some time and died because he had a material body. That's mortal. You're born and you die. That's not the position of Lord Ramachandra. So Prabhupada's very strong. We don't hear from those people. And once again, same as the starting point, Shukadeva Goswami even is emphasizing, I'm not going to speak the message of those unauthorized people, I'm just going to summarize the essence of the authorized people, the Tattvadarshi people. Now he himself is in that category, but he has heard as well. And that's what we speak from. Any discussion? Yeah.
Maharaj, I heard that Prabhupada was telling Dr. Radhakrishna says that Krishna is a historical person. Something. Krishna is a historical person.
Yeah, I don't know what Prabhupada said about Dr. Radhakrishna, and as I said during the presentation, he probably said a lot of things. Scholars say a lot of things. I mean, for sure, impersonal. And, you know, apparently also he was a human being like us, just like a, you know, high-grade human being. And whatever else you said. But, you know, it's arising from scholarship, not from descending knowledge. That's for us to understand. Scholars can say anything. And scholars do say anything. Anything else? Yeah, over here.
Wondering sometimes I find it challenging sticking to some of the things that I think that Prabhupada established and that sometimes I've seen differently in our day-to-day, the way things are going now. So it seems like...
I didn't get it all. Sometimes, and I missed it. What's the two?
What Prabhupada established in his instructions and then our day-to-day activities in ISKCON.
He established activities for ISKCON.
Yeah, like, for example...
Mangalarti
or kirtan for the temples, like supposed to be mostly Hare Krishna,
yeah,
kirtan,
etc.
Instead of saying Hare Bol like,
yes,
five times,
correct,
even,
correct,
like that. More so focusing on Hare Krishna,
yeah.
But it's like a, it's kind of like a, there's a certain way that we do things that, like, it's just the way we do it, like. Chanting the deity's names five times and chanting,
yeah,
like that. And before you end, you have to do that. Otherwise, if you just
chant... Not exactly have to do that. We're followers. This is my understanding that Prabhupada, like Bhaktisiddhanta and like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they had to deal with deviations. You know, they... persons that took the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the practice of Lord Chaitanya, went way over there. And one of the ways to go way over there is through kirtan. And then from kirtan then comes teachings, and teachings go way over there. It's, you know, distortion of... So Prabhupada is very concerned because there were, you know, imitators. You know, we commonly use the term in ISKCON, sahajiya, but it's people that would take Lord Chaitanya's gift and distort it. So he was very, very concerned about not distorting. And, you know, even in his presence, just, you know, a short period of time, but to speak of longer period of time, the distortion, because that's the material influence. And then material influence means... people that have some other kind of spirituality notion taking Lord Chaitanya's teachings and twisting it and distorting it over there. So he wanted I was asked this I don't know who was that asked me about it. There was this little thing was passed by the GBC about not just chanting Radha's name. It came up in class, right? Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. Well, no, it was somebody. It was elsewhere. Anyway. There was a group of persons interested in kirtan and preserving. And there's this Shastri advisory committee. So the two got together and researched and came up with, you know, they're very small and short, but a few of them, that these are standards. And we shouldn't deviate from the standard that because Prabhupada made explicit statements about don't do this and do that. So did he say other things at other times besides don't do this, do that? So they did their research and then came out with some really simple short things. Like not having the repetition of Radhe, 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 Radhe. It's Vrindavan. They do that. And they're Vaishnavas. But Lord Chaitanya and his followers, and they didn't do that. So we should follow, etc. It's a small point in one sense, and it's a big deal in another sense. Just like a ship that's headed for its destination, supposing it's 1 degree off, and it's crossing the ocean. You might hit a different continent than the one that you started out for over some time and distance. So we have to be careful. Not fanatical, but careful. So what did our founder, Acharya, want? What was his intention? It's very important. What was his intention? Because he sometimes said this and sometimes that, and so we look at what this and that, and what was his intention? from what he said. Sometimes he said, this is my intention. Sometimes we have to discern it. So there are persons that wish to, certainly there's persons that are, I don't know, super orthodox conservatives. And Prabhupada wasn't. He was concerned. Anyway, there are things like that that are parts of our activities that we need to be concerned about. Philosophical deviation is, my understanding is, it's considered more serious than other kinds. Because it... Okay? Yes.
Sharon Swami, that you had mentioned that Srila Prabhupada pointed to some sections in Valmiki's Ramayana that have an impersonalist slant. So that acceptance of Valmiki's Ramayana is taken into account those particular sections. So is it that Srila Prabhupada's drawing attention to that makes one alert to the presence of that, and so therefore one is cautious in those sections? How does it work?
I'm very sorry, but I couldn't follow what your question is.
Sorry, Charanpa Swami. I think I'm trying to express that, you know, having the discernment when one's looking at a work like Valmiki's Ramayana.
Okay, when looking at a work like Valmiki Ramayana.
Srila Prabhupada is showing discernment by highlighting that some section has an impersonal bent.
He didn't say it many times, but he said it on occasion. Enough that, you know, there's the flag. There are places to be balanced. There are places where he was appreciating Tulsi Ramayana. But then he explained, it's not actually Tulsi Ramayana, it's Ramcharitmanas. And he was appreciating. And there's other places. So, when looking at a work like Valmiki Ramayana, there are other versions. And so now, what's your question?
The question is, well, I guess I'm often looking at books because of thinking of material for teaching and planning the curriculum for the school children for the year. So I drew on one version of Ramayana, you know, a book that's came my way, The Shadows of the Sun Dynasty. And so...
Oh.
So I read to Subal a little section, and so he was scratching his head.
It's interesting, but it's not accurate. They sent out copies. I read. I found, you know, that she's a good writer, really skilled writer, but. You know, the first chapter is just modern psychology. It's not at all factual about why the hunchback, how she became, and the whole thing. Modern psychology. And just not even, you know, facts are just not, don't match. So, in teaching children, you know, you don't go there. Is that right? Okay. You, as you know, because you're an educator, children retain impressions for their lifetime. And one of my concerns about the Sagar series of Mahabharata and so forth is, while largely he consulted ISKCON, he just did things that were explicitly in contradiction to the Bhagavatam's understanding without the details. And then, you know, everybody, and, you know, children and adults, they see it and that's it, because it's, they saw it in a video. So we should be careful, you know, especially in the role of a teacher. Be careful what the sources are. And that particular book is good writer, very interesting. I stopped reading it because I don't want to have my thoughts filled up with something that isn't, just because she's a good writer. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki.